Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Well, I think we've already feasted so much on God's word and in his presence. Sometimes, you know, when it comes to speaking, you think, God has already met with us in so many good ways. What could possibly be more? But I think there's always a little more. And I really trust that God has shown me, revealed a couple of insights from a sort of shorter section of the Bible in John 4. Just a reminder, what Pastor Barry asked us to look for or to look out for, the things that Jesus said, so his words, and the things that Jesus did, his actions. And for the first point, we're going to dig a little bit into his actions. So let's read together. In John 4, starting with verse 43. At the end of 2 days, Jesus went on to Galilee. He himself had said that a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. Yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything that he did there. As he traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. So we're seeing Jesus arrive back at a place where he knew the people didn't honor him as the Son of God. And yet, his reaction to this crowd, to those people, I think is amazing. He went back. And then we can see coming up, there's going to be a conversation between Jesus and one man. Last time we were in John 4, Pastor Barry unfolded a rather lengthy conversation that Jesus had with one woman. But here, the conversation is really, really short. And I wondered a little bit about the crowd who didn't give Jesus honor, and I thought maybe they didn't really know him. Like, they said they knew him, and sometimes we can act like we know Jesus or do the things that he does. But I believe that our reactions show us what we actually believe. Our reactions to situations, our reactions to events that happen in our life. And sometimes we haven't really understood who Jesus is, and other times we just need a little reminder. And I know that there's times when I have acted like I knew Jesus. I can say the right words. I can do the right things. But inside, there is this little, well, like a little child when you ask them to stand up and they say, but inside I'm sitting down. Because we hold on to things sometimes. But here we're going to meet a man who maybe was acquainted with Jesus on just a surface level. He could have been invited at the feast, the wedding feast, where the water was turned into wine. But in reading some things about this situation, a point was made that traveling rabbis did not really rub shoulders or sit at the same table as royal officials. There's no way that a royal official would have come to visit the humble table where perhaps the poor rabbi sat. But he could have tasted the wine. We don't know. He could have. However, he heard about Jesus. He did hear about the miracle. And he had a problem. And this problem was his son was sick. And he was so sick that he had word that he was going to die. So this man ran. This official ran to Jesus and asked him for help. We're going to park that there and take a little step back. And I want to unpack a little more Jesus' reaction when he was faced with this rejection. And an example of that is really found in Genesis in the life of Joseph. We can read in Genesis 50, verse 20, that when Joseph was finally seeing his brothers, he didn't start saying, "Look at me. This is your fault. I'm here. And now I can lord it over you." What he said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." He did not react like a victim. And to me, that is so, so very amazing. He didn't put the blame on his brothers for his misfortunes and the painful years of his suffering. He didn't dwell on his times in jail with them. He was able to see the purpose, that it's all part of God's plan. And it's a master plan to save, because God is a God who saves. In the most difficult period of Joseph's life, he embraced all the life circumstances and took responsibility for his own actions and growth. He was in such a position of power, he really could have done damage to his brothers, but he didn't. And how was Jesus able to keep his emotions in check when he was rejected like that? I really believe, and I think God would tell us, because he spent so much time with the Father, and he intimately knew him. He knew that the faithful love of God never ends, that his mercies never cease, that his faithfulness is great, and his mercies begin afresh every morning. That's what Jesus understood, and that's what Jesus knew. And that's why Jesus went back a second time. Because in his time with the Father, I don't know, but maybe the Father said, "Go back there." And so he did. That's our first point. Our reactions. Jesus did not react from the circumstances that were around him, but he reacted out of his love and compassion for humanity, and he knew what his mission was. His heart was so full of the Father's love and his certainty of the Father's love that he went wherever the Father sent him. Now, that thing about reacting was really buzzing in my brain for a couple of weeks. And every time I reacted badly, I had that little bit of, "What have you done? What have you done?" And so earlier this week, we had a disturbance in our neighborhood. On October 31st, the powers that be decided to dig up sidewalks in preparation for a repair. And I was indignant because I thought, I don't celebrate Halloween, but there's little children walking around. This is not good. So the lowly worker outside got a teacher's lecture from Chris. And I felt so justified because I wanted to tell him the obvious, And this poor man was so patient with me. I didn't rail at him. I didn't use nasty words. But I think I sat on a high horse. So then I continued on my prayer walk. I hadn't gone half a block when the Holy Spirit said, "Reaction," just that word. And I thought, oh my goodness. So I repented, and then I walked fast around the block. Oh, this poor man, he saw me coming again. Oh, now I laugh, but I felt so bad because his face just fell. And I thought, oh my goodness, I scared this man. But I started with, I just want to apologize to you. And he told me for all the years that he had never received an apology. And I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus, for reminding me that I reacted badly. But by his grace, I could come by, sorry, because I just see his little face. I mean, he's way taller than me and outweighed me very much, but because I thought, oh my goodness, we have power, you know, and we can use it either for change for good or for ill. And it was so, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. And then I continued my walk, and you know what? The prayer was sweet. But our reactions really, really can show who we really are and who we really believe Jesus is. Could I not have asked Jesus, which I did later, to protect all the children from falling into these traps? Which he did. Not one child was hurt. He didn't need me to do the other thing. So my first point is, our reactions can either lead us into like a deeper experience and miracle with God, or we can miss the boat. Let's keep reading. There was a government official, thank you, honey, in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son, who was about to die. Jesus asked, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" And the official pleaded, "Lord, please come now before my little boy dies." Then Jesus told him, "Go back home, your son will live." Let's observe a couple of things. This man was an official in the service of the king, but he chose to walk those 20 miles to ask Jesus for help. We've already talked about how he heard and where he met Jesus. We don't know, but he knew he was going to go to Jesus. I don't think he knew Jesus personally, but he had faith in Jesus' higher power. And Jesus didn't treat him any differently than he treats someone of a lowlier position of power on earth. He also challenged this man. And this man did come to Jesus and address him as Lord. This was a humble plea for help from this man. I think he had the seed of faith in Jesus and in his power to do miraculous things. And he wasn't deterred by the challenging question, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" Because I think in the presence of Jesus, we can have exponential growth of faith. When we see this man came to Jesus and the faith, which we will unpack in a few moments, those few moments with Jesus changed him so very, very much. And it gets me so excited because I think all of us have times when we run to Jesus. And that's where we should run. And when we are in his presence, he will change us. He will meet our needs. I want us to realize that the question was not given by Jesus to shame this man. And it was said in the plural, so he was speaking also to the crowd. But this one man because of his transformation of faith and trust in Jesus, participated, saw the miraculous where the crowd stayed behind and did not. They might have heard of it, but he got to experience Jesus' wonder-working power. Jesus used this encounter to turn this man's worst day into his best day. And we can see how this divine encounter with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Savior, he was revealed to this man that Jesus is the King of Glory, because Jesus met with the Father on a regular basis. And we read further in John, we'll get a little nugget in the next chapter. Jesus explained to the people, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." He was God-led. And that's our point number two. God is always positioning people in the right place at the right time with the prompting of his Holy Spirit. We can trust his plan. I didn't when I reacted so badly, but God gave me a chance to meet with this poor man and leave him with an apology, which he so badly needed, because for years, people had taken him as the sounding board, and he's taken abuse for all the decisions that he didn't even make. So, do we believe that in every situation we're in, God has positioned us? Can we see it the way Jesus did? We can. If we spend time with the Lord, and if we allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign and access in our lives. Let's continue reading. "And the man believed what Jesus said, and he started home. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, just like Pastor Barry's phone call. Hey, Ben, how are you? Hey, servants, when did this happen? And they replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. Then the father realized that was the very time Jesus had told him, your son will live." This giving of life, the word here for life that Jesus used, was Zoe to experience God's gift of life. That healing was so complete for that young man. And because of that, his entire household believed in Jesus. He heard the words, let's observe. "Go your way, your son lives." Jesus tested this man's faith, giving him the choice to believe in Jesus' word alone and not in the outward demonstration of the miraculous yet. And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. He went away only with a promise of the word of Jesus. But I believe that because in the presence of Jesus, this man's faith was transformed. He simply took Jesus at his word. Now, did he have to do something? Yes. Jesus sent him on a walk. Go back home. Sometimes we don't see that the miracle has already occurred. Jesus is asking us to take a walk. And it could be 20 miles. He probably had a horse to ride. It wouldn't have taken him very long. But because we can observe that he asked when was the time, they said yesterday, we know that he probably stayed overnight in the place that he was. He ran, but his reaction when Jesus told him, your son lives, completely changed him. And instead of running home, he took a walk. Isn't that amazing? We can see that The faith that he had in the word of Jesus, trusting and believing him, allowed him to walk and not be frantic. Maybe had Jesus gone with him as he had wished, as Jesus had done what the noble one wanted him to do, maybe his unbelief or some of the questions he had about Jesus, about his power, wouldn't have maybe been completely removed, right? Our faith sometimes needs stretching in order to strengthen, and we don't like that. But I also believe that wherever Jesus sends us, we don't walk it alone. He walks with us. The nobleman's walk home brought him into the fullness of faith in Jesus as the one who holds miracle-working power that transcends time and space. Your son lives. Your son is going to have Zoe life, complete life. He believed it before he saw the evidence. Wasn't it beautiful news that greeted him? And then people who hadn't even heard Jesus speak, like Ben today testifying, we didn't know that. But now today our faith was strengthened and their faith was strengthened and everyone in his household came to saving grace in Jesus. Last point. This was the second miraculous sign Jesus did in Galilee after coming from Judea. What are the purpose of these signs, these miracles? John shares his purpose of writing them in further chapters. And we'll read in John 20. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written. If you know this, you can read it. If you know this, say it with me. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. The signs in the Gospel of John are written so the reader will be have this revelation of the glory of God. The first sign, water into wine, persuaded his disciples. This miracle, this is so fantastic. When I study some of this, demonstrated Jesus' power over subatomic particles. We know, if you've studied science, what water is made of. And Jesus transformed the water, even to the smallest particle. He can transform our world. He's God omnipotent. That's what the disciples saw. That's why they believed. This is their revelation of Jesus. The second sign persuaded a Jewish nobleman and his household. It demonstrated Jesus' absolute mastery over time and space, God omnipresent. You know, when we think sometimes about who God is, your mind can almost not comprehend it. We choose to remember the miracles God has demonstrated in our lives because then we remember his faithfulness to us. I will tell you a story about God's choosing to do a miracle for one of our children when we weren't even present. So our oldest daughter, Jessica, went to Malawi on a short-term missions trip. And they went into a lot of rural areas. And in most of them, there was a witch doctor who held power over all of the people in the village. Some of them were more friendly, but in this particular village that Jess was in, this witch doctor, first of all, hated Christians. He hated the team, and he wanted to demonstrate his power over the Christians. I was in Germany at the time visiting my dad, and that's an hour's flight from Germany to Malawi, and it's only an hour time difference. And one evening I went to bed, and I woke up, and I was surrounded by this thickest darkness that I've never experienced since. And it was so almost choking. I was fully awake, and it was so dark, and I just said the name of Jesus, and it was released. But then I felt I really had to pray for Jessica, our daughter, and I began to pray. I cannot tell you how long I was in prayer, but all of a sudden, I knew the prayer was done. And then I went to bed and went to sleep as soon as I thought it was reasonable to phone her. In the morning, I called her, and she said what happened that night. She and the team had, they were building a little structure that they were going to use as a school, and they went to bed. They had finished for the day, and all of a sudden, she was in the cabin with another girl, her friend. And she said, "Mom, our mattress started to lift." And we heard these weird little scratching sounds. And then a cat jumped onto the window ledge. And they also said the name of Jesus. And then they saw a man walking away, and it was the witch doctor. But Jessica and the team experienced the miraculous power of the presence of Jesus, and they were able to strengthen their team's faith because they had considered, should we stay in this place? Should we leave? Like, I don't know, but they stayed because Jesus was present. And it was the same time they experienced it that God led me to pray. And was I thinking I would hear a miraculous story? Probably not. I wanted to see, Jessica, how are you? What happened? But God strengthened my faith as well. Because we talked about, I also said, when did this happen? What time did it happen? And it was the same time, given that hour time difference. So God is omnipresent. You can be praying for someone far away, and God will hear you and answer prayer. These things sound, if we've never experienced it, maybe you're hoping that'll happen to you. But I tell you, it can. Walk with Jesus. Check your reactions to see, is there a miracle around the corner because this is happening? Am I supposed to be where Jesus is having me be? Yes. If we're spirit-led, yes. And I want to pray for us. And I was going to have you stand. We've already stood, but I'm going to read some scriptures. And as I read these scriptures, would you think about a situation or a need you have that seems like that 20 walk mile? Maybe God has given you a promise. Maybe you haven't yet gotten that promise. But would you draw near to Him? And would you allow Him to show you? And when you have that stirring in your heart that, yes, I'm going to walk that 20-mile walk, Jesus has that answer for me, He's already answered me, then you can stand if you want to, or you can do something that shows yourself that you believe Jesus has answered your prayer and is able to answer your prayer because He is omnipotent, He's omnipresent, and in the rest of the miracles, we will see His wondrous power will be revealed to us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and play as I read these scriptures, and then I'm going to end in a word of prayer for us. Spending time in His presence and in the Word will help us control how we react to situations and other people. And it's a learning curve. It's growth. I've followed Jesus since I was 5 years old, and yet I have lessons to learn and to walk things out with Jesus. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? In Joshua 23:14, we read, and now I am about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Father, we come before you now, and we thank you that you are faithful, that your promises are true. You are the promise keeper. You are omnipresent. You're omniscient, all-powerful. And when you say it is done, it is done. Father, I pray for all of the needs that are for the people, our dear friends and family who are watching online and on house. I pray that you would show us that as we react in faith towards your promises, that we can be partakers of your goodness, the power that you reveal in us, because of what Jesus you have accomplished. We give it all to you, and we thank you that you will strengthen our faith because of the wonderful and the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.